So I'll just quickly get this set up. Good morning, everyone. It's been such a joy to be with you. It's really encouraging, especially the way you've just welcomed us so warmly as a family. It's been good to be here. I'll try to set this up real quick. Could you remind me of the Zoom password? I somehow am not in the meeting anymore.
No, you can't go in.
All right, thank you. Sorry about that short delay. I was in the meeting before, but I'm guessing when I closed the laptop, it kicked me out of the meeting again. Yeah, so Mom and Dad, Michael and Martina, were sent with MSC in December 2001. If you go to the MSC website, this is what you will see. They're serving in the Pinzgau Valley, so that's a small region in Austria. It's very rural. There's very few Christians, and the Catholic Church is very prominent. However, most of the Catholic churchgoers there, it's really quite cultural for them. It's nominal, so they go to church because it's a good thing to do. It's what's proper in the valley. But usually, of course, there's gracious exceptions, but usually there's no personal relationship to Jesus. And the presentation I'll do will be in three sections. So first I'll talk about Middersill and the ministry there, the local church plant and fellowship that they've started there, and then the Pinzgau Valley as a whole, so the ministries that affect the whole region, and then in recent years, Dad has started this music ministry that encourages indigenous Austrian worship music, since most worship music we do in Austria is either translated from English, so you all know the big mainstream Christian music centers like Hillsong, Elevation Music, Upper Room, whatever. Most churches use those songs and just translate them. There are some German worship songs as well, but there's virtually no Austrian worship songs. And since there is a cultural difference, he felt the calling to start an initiative that supports the writing and publishing and singing of Austrian worship music. And throughout all these aspects of ministry, Dad felt like these were like the leading verses that have guided him. And that's Galatians 3, verse 3. Are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? And so, especially in this new music ministry, he's been doing. He's been very consequent about making no decisions without praying beforehand, and really trying his best not to rely on his own strengths and talents. And he wouldn't say this, but I would say of him that he's a man of many gifts and talents, and that he can simply out of his own strength achieve many things. But it was very important for him to stress that he wouldn't make any decisions without praying before, and he would not rely on his own strength. And in Galatians 5, verse 6b, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. And the context of both these verses is the same. It's about circumcision and being saved through the works of the law, and not through faith. And so for his ministries, this has been his guidance, that the only thing that's important is faith expressing itself through love. And that's been his guiding principle in decision making. So I'll start with Middersill. Middersill is a small town. This is a picture. The population is about 5,000. And the spiritual background of why it's such a hard place to do ministry in is in 1732. What's known as the Great Immigration happened. And it was that basically since Martin Luther and the translation of the Bible, there was a growing community of born-again believers in many regions in Austria. And before 1732, they all came together to appeal for two basic rights. And that is that they are allowed to do communion without a Catholic priest, and that they're allowed to read their German Bible. And they were thinking that this wouldn't be much of an issue, and signed this appeal to the Catholic Church that they would be able to read their German Bible and do communion without a Catholic priest. And unfortunately, the Catholic response was quite unexpected, and it was that they were all forced to leave. So they had to leave their farms, leave any children under 15 behind, and it was a lot of people in the Pinzgau region. It was 16,000, and their farms were left empty, and they were forced to leave. So that's kind of the spiritual background of why this valley is so hard to reach, and why the ministry is so tough, I guess. And part of the mission statement is to serve all forms of Orthodox Christianity. So I mentioned briefly about the Catholic Church. As a family, we are not at all against the Catholic Church. There's no Catholic exclusion. We try to foster faith in all of the denominations. We meet in a small house church. We're three families and a few singles. I'll ask my mom if she wants to add anything, since she knows the details much better.
Can I actually add something to the next page?
Next page. All right. So moving on, that was Mittersill. This is Pinzgau, so the entire region, the valley where Mittersill is located. And the way that ministry has looked there is in the form of daily prayer meetings. So Dad has met with other church leaders in the region, with two other men, every day for 17 years. And inspired by Matthew 9:38, they have prayed that the Lord would send more workers into the harvest. And that is a prayer that has been answered massively. So this is a great answer to prayer. There have been over 20 Christians that have moved into the valley, Germans, people from Lithuania, people from all over, that have joined in evangelism and are active believing Christians. So this prayer that has been prayed for 17 years has been and is continued to be answered. Another form of ministry is the gospel choir, in which the opportunities are used to explain what the songs that are being sung are about. So there's a lot of non-Christians that are part of the gospel choir that really just enjoy singing and music, and they do concerts. So it's really a great way to get the community involved in a way that doesn't push them away as quickly as maybe street evangelism, which is also a form of ministry that we do, especially joined with the other churches. We go on prayer walks and do street evangelism. One of the married couple that joined or moved to Pinzgau as an answer to prayer have started an Alpha course, and we've joined in on that. I don't know if you're all familiar with an Alpha course. It's this form of ministry where the basics of the Christian faith are discussed in a very easy to understand way. And there's always food and community and games. So that's been a sort of youth outreach that we've been doing. And then Mom has led a women's Bible study and literacy classes.
Yeah, so my ministry is women's Bible studies. We've had them for over 20 years. We have seen women come to Christ. They don't necessarily join our church, but we have fellowship with them. And I teach literacy classes. It's through a government program, but most of my students are Muslim, and it's very easy to talk about God with them. It's such a part of their life, and I can explain Christmas to them and Easter. So I'm very grateful for these chances to work with women.
Yeah, and then the third ministry and the most recent that Dad has really focused on is in German, Österreich lobt. So that's translated to Austria praises. And the goal is, inspired by Psalm 66, to make his praise glorious. So this ministry is really about encouraging and fostering Austrian worship musicians and singers and songwriters and worship leaders so that Austrian songs are being sung in the church. So I'll read Psalm 66. Make his praise glorious. We want to create richer, more diverse, and above all, more glorious worship music in Austria and beyond. So that's the goal that's inspired by Psalm 66. And this is really so important because the culture and the context is different from German songs and from American songs. Austrians feel differently about music and so on. So that's why Dad thinks it's so important that Austrian songs are being written. And the ways that his ministry is working towards this goal is that they've established a website, a catalog of existing Austrian worship songs. Prior to this, there wasn't really a unified platform. So even though there turns out to be quite a few Austrian worship songs, there's really no way to get them. So unless you know the person that wrote it, you're not going to be able to get the chords or the lead sheets to sing them yourselves. Secondly, they're searching and promoting for new songwriters, and they do these songwriting weekends where the basics of songwriting is taught, music theory is taught for anyone who's interested, but also the theological principles that are important to write music that honors God. So that's also the third point. We offer practical and theological training for songwriters and worship leaders. The fourth is we are developing a worship song database that is accessible to everyone. And fifth, and this is also a big prayer point, is producing new Austrian worship albums. The first worship album from Austria Praises is being produced currently. So there's a lot of people that have joined in this effort, producers and musicians and other songwriters that share this vision of Austrian worship music. This is what the website looks like. So again, Österreich lobt, Austria praises. You have different sections in the website. This is the vision and mission statement. So this is what I was talking about with Psalm 66, to make glorious worship music and to encourage churches and songwriters alike to sing Austrian worship music. This is the online catalog with these search functions to help select songs. So you can sort by artist, topic, tempo, and the position in the liturgy, which is quite useful for worship leaders. To select songs and to discover new songs. And then once you've found a song, you can click on it and you find the genre and the tempo, the key, and also an embedded video to hear it, and the lyrics as well as the chord sheets. This is one of the flyers for one of those songwriting days. So you get together, there's food, there's worship, and then the next day, so in this case, all of Saturday, you just collaborate, exchange ideas, and work together to make new worship songs. If anyone's interested with this QR code, you can look at the website yourself. Otherwise, it should be relatively easy to find, but I'll leave that up there for a little bit.
I just add one point that is important to Michael. Often new songs lead to revival. And so he feels spiritually it's good to write new songs that God put on the heart of people for revival. And we hope and pray for revival in Austria.
As is written in the prayer requests, we pray for revival in Pinzgau and in all of Austria. But these, again, are the prayer requests summarized. In Mittersill, we want to pray for our local fellowship, so the little house church that consists of three families and a few singles, that would grow and reach the rest of the community and have an impact on the town of Mittersill. And that in Pinzgau, that the Lord would continue to bring harvesters and for revival through worship music and through all the other ministries that we've mentioned. And in Austria, and for the ministry Austria Praises, for the first worship album that's being produced, and that would just lead to a new movement of Austrian praise music that would impact the church, ultimately supporting or fostering the revival we pray for, that would go hand in hand. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Does anyone have any questions that you'd like to ask? I'm curious, do all of your kids in the family sing?
Mike Patrick says no, but the girls, yes. The girls sing.
Yeah. We do all play instruments. Mm-hmm.
No, none of them. We are happy with the school system we are in. I think it may be different from the state, so we were happy to send them in. And also there they have opportunity to share their faith with the classmates.
Yes?
What do you think are the biggest challenges and opportunities facing your ministry?
That's a good question. I wish Dad was here. I think... I think there's a lot of common challenges to starting a new ministry. It's really not anything that's been done in Austria before. So just explaining the vision and people not quite understanding why it's not ideal that we're only singing Hillsong. And what was the other part of the question? The opportunities? Yeah, I think the opportunities are that it's really impactful to hear Austrian worship music as an Austrian. Like the first time I heard a worship song in the local dialect, I didn't know that was a thing, and it really moved me because there is something different when you worship in the language that you think and speak in and that you communicate, that you pray in, and then you worship in that language. That just has a lot of potential, I think.
I think an opportunity is also to bring Christians together to write new songs. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Austrian culture is a little bit less direct than German culture. So Austrians will often perceive Germans as direct or even impolite. There's like a lot of, I don't know, like if someone offers you food, it's polite to decline at least two times. And they know that it's part of the cultural game, and they offer a third time, and then you can humbly accept their kind offer. So it's somewhat indirect, and I think that's a big aspect. But the language also is quite different. It's German, and the written language is the same, but the dialects are different. Yeah, so I think those two things. Would you want to add anything?
No, not really. Oh, if I'm part Russian?
Austrian.
Austrian. I am completely Austrian. Yeah, I was born in Innsbruck, and Michael came to Austria to work with InterVarsity, with the Christian Student Movement, and that's where I met him, at the Christian Conference Center. Yeah.
InterVarsity?
Yeah.
Yes. So I think all three of us, students in the family, we go to the Austrian InterVarsity, and it's very active, especially in Innsbruck, where Patrick lives. They have the biggest group. They do a lot of sports together. So it's, yeah. All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
I'm sure that Killian and Martina would be happy to entertain any more questions, and others in the family too. Be very good. Well, you know, I can't give you Michael's message, but I had been thinking about ministry and about the need to know the Lord Jesus in a relationship. And this came up partly out of our meetings with Lounsbury, and partly out of people that the Lord has led me to recently. You know, we pray for Suzanne Jackson, and over there in Lantern Hill, and we've been having a wonderful study with her in the Gospel of John. And the one thing that we wanted to bring out in John, as we're going through it, is not just an understanding of the theology of salvation, okay? And it's the same thing with the group when we're meeting at Lounsbury. We're going through Emmaus courses and discussing men who met the Master, and then John the Baptist, and we're going through a lot of Bible verses, but we're not seeking expressly to teach theology. We want people to come to a faith, a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that they didn't have before, and maybe they didn't notice before. And so my thought, originally I was supposed to speak today, so worked out. But my thought was to talk about relationship, about the gospel, just for a few minutes here. We only have 10 minutes or so. And probably the best place that I could go would be the Gospel of John, and in particular to chapter 3. And the background of the Gospel of John is that John is built around seven miracles that the Lord performed, and they're called signs in John. But there's also this interaction between the Lord as a evangelist and the people that he's meeting. And oftentimes, the Lord will actually, I could use the word insult. He will insult the person in a point in their life where it provokes them into continuing a conversation. And so this happens in John chapter 3 with a man named Nicodemus. And I'd just like to read a portion of the chapter. We won't cover all of this, of course, in a few minutes, but just like to read it for our setting. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And the same came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who's born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, How can these things be? And Jesus answered and said to him, Are you the teacher of Israel, and you don't know these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak what we do know and testify what we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I've told you earthly things and you don't believe, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Now, no man has ascended up to heaven but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believes on him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he that does truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. And the Lord will certainly take his word and apply it to our hearts. Shall we just look to the Lord? Father, we only have a few minutes here, and we really only have one point to make, Lord, but we just pray that you will bring home your scripture to our hearts. We're thankful for the Potts family, Lord. We're thankful for the way that they are taking the gospel to the country of Austria. And Lord, we all need to know Jesus. So we pray, Lord, that you'll help us this morning. We pray in his name. Amen. Yeah, it's occurred to me that we've had some speakers come through in the last couple of years that, say on Tuesday night, I know our brother Mark has told us this from time to time, that he will be speaking in a church, and there will be people that have been gathered to that church and going there and think that they're believers, but they really don't know the Lord. You know, they know the gospel even. They even know the words. They even know the verses. They might have memorized a lot of verses, but they don't actually know the Lord. They don't have a relationship with the Lord. And what a person needs is to have their eyes open. For Nicodemus, it's probably the statement. Here's a guy who's, right, a member of the Sanhedrin. He's one of the top 71. And he comes to Jesus at night because he's scared. He doesn't want his reputation damaged. He comes to Lord Jesus. And he's got a heart. He's at a point in his life, even though he has all this religious training, and if you asked him, he would certainly say that he's a believer in Israel. But here's a man that comes to Jesus at night, and he's got a curiosity about the Lord Jesus, because he knows there's something different about him. There's something I don't have. And the Lord Jesus knows him, and he knows all of us, and he knows just what we need to hear. And one thing Nicodemus really needed to hear is, you're not so hot. You know, you're not as good as you think you are. Are you the teacher of Israel and you don't know these things, right? That there's a spiritual birth. You've had the natural birth, but you haven't had the spiritual birth. So Nicodemus is coming to the Lord and he's curious. And the Lord is taking him down a path that he can know. Sometimes we need to get people to the Lord by taking them down a path that they're aware of. He knew the Old Testament, right? He knew it backward and forward. He could probably recite to you the first five books of the Bible. I don't know if they all memorized them, but history tells us that much of the Old Testament was memorized by these Pharisees. And so when the Lord Jesus takes this incident of Moses lifting up the serpent in the wilderness, there is no doubt in Nicodemus's mind what Jesus is talking about. He knows this from a child. And he must be wondering where the Lord is going with this. And he says, the same way the Son of Man has to be lifted up. The same way the Son of Man has to be lifted up. The coming Messiah is going to be lifted up like the serpent in the wilderness, so that whoever believes in him should not perish. Well, the story in Numbers is that if you looked at that snake on the pole, you live. If you choose not to look, you die, right? So whether you're superstitious or not, you're looking at that pole. But the Lord Jesus says, I have to be lifted up. I'm the one who's going to be on the cross. God didn't send me into the world to judge the world. Not at that point. He sent me into the world that the world might be saved through me, that they might be delivered through me. Delivered. So what we have is Christ giving himself in a personal way to each individual, that it's something that has to change. It can't just be, I grew up in a Christian household. I know the Bible. I've read through it. I was in Sunday school. I went to Bible camp. You know, I had all this training. And here I am wondering, is it real? You know? Well, why does a person walk away from the faith? Do you know that in America today, there are more people that have left the church than came in during the Great Awakening, during the time, the Great Awakening in America. Why have they all left? Lack of relationship. Lack of a personal experience with Jesus Christ. They haven't actually called on the name of the Lord. But whoever gets to that point and believes he was lifted up there on the cross. It's not that he's a snake on a pole. It's the Son of God being nailed to a cross and dying there because he loves me. He loves me. The handwriting of ordinances. Paul says that the sentence for my crime was nailed to the cross there. The handwriting of ordinances that was against us was nailed to the cross. And now, if I just embrace him, if I love him, I mean, he loves me so much more than I love him, but if I turn to him and say, Lord, I need you. I need to know you. You're the one whom to know is eternal life. I have to have a relationship. Kind of like Jacob wrestling with the angel, right? I'm not going to let you go unless you bless me, right? That's the heart that we have to have. Seeking the Lord. And Nicodemus came. You know, he received the truth. One man in the dark on a lonely night with the Lord Jesus. That has changed the entire world. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. How many people have heard that verse? But he came to the one man alone. He probably did not believe that night. But by the time the Lord Jesus was crucified, he believed enough to go say, I'm taking him off that cross, and I'm going to help bury him. He believed in the Lord Jesus. This morning, we're hopefully not of those who don't believe unto perdition, but we're of those who do believe unto salvation. But we really do need to examine our hearts. You know, we want to know, where do I stand with Christ? What think ye of Christ? Is he everything to me? Is he everything to me? Let's just look to the Lord in prayer. Our God and Father, we thank you today for the plan of salvation. We thank you, Father, that even though we are sinners, you saw us in our need and you loved us. When we were by the roadside flailing in our own blood, Lord, you loved us and you gave Jesus for the propitiation, Father, your wrath today, your wrath that abides over sin, God. And you made a way. Jesus is the way. And we just hold on to him. We call on the name of the Lord and we trust in him and we want to know him. And Lord Jesus, as long as we're trusting in you for salvation, Lord, we're beginning in the spirit. Let's not end in the flesh. Oh, Lord Jesus, work in our hearts today that we want to know you more and more. We pray in your lovely, your powerful and precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.